this evening from Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, we've been looking at these parables of the kingdom that Jesus gives. Mark chapter 4, I'll begin reading at verse 21 and read to the end of verse 34. Hear God's word. And Jesus said to them, "Is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret but that it should come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." Then he said to them, "Take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him." And he said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground, and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest is come." Then he said, "To what shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what parable shall we picture it? It is like a mustard seed, which when it is sown on the ground, is smaller than all the seeds on earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all herbs, and shoots out large branches, so that birds of the air may nest under its shade." And with many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. But without a parable, he did not speak to them. And when they were alone, he explained all things to his disciples. And here ends the reading of God's holy word, and may he bless that reading and the preaching of the word unto his glory. As Jesus continues to speak of the parables of the kingdom and to give us these parables that help us to meditate on what the kingdom of God is like. This evening, he compares the kingdom of God to a mustard seed. And that's the parable that we're looking at this evening, the parable of the mustard seed. It's found in verses 30 through 34 of Mark chapter 4. So not a long parable, just four verses before us. And in this, as he compares the kingdom of God to a mustard seed, we're automatically drawn into asking questions about that. Questions about why he would choose a mustard seed. If you think of all of the things in the world with which you may want to compare the kingdom of God, the mustard seed or any such seed may be pretty low on the list of things that you would come up with to compare the kingdom of God with. So what does he mean by that? And then how can that be used for our encouragement in the Christian life? And then how can that be used that you and I may better serve the Lord Jesus as we consider the kingdom of God? So this evening, we're going to begin with the first heading, and we're going to call that the minutiae of beginnings. The minutiae of beginnings. Minutiae is something that is small. It's something that is insignificant. And we look at verses 30 and 31, and Jesus asks the question, what can we compare the kingdom of God with, or what parable shall we use for it? And he says, it is like a grain of mustard seed when sown in the ground is the smallest of all the seeds in the earth. So Jesus begins with what we would call a question of comparison. Jesus is not teaching farming techniques, and he's not specifically concerned with whether there is a seed smaller in the world than the mustard seed. What the Lord Jesus is doing is he is giving this question of comparison, which would have been a popular method among rabbis in the time of Jesus. And the question of comparison is where there is a question posed, and that question is intended for the hearer to think about it and to meditate on it and to have the mind stretched and then come to some sort of conclusion which could be shared. In some ways, it would be similar to what we would call the Socratic method of teaching, where questions are asked so that the learner is considering from various angles the way that that question could be answered, and it's used to come to some type of conclusion. So Jesus asks this question, what do you think the kingdom of God could be compared to? Now you can hear the question. He poses the question. You are a disciple of Christ. You're able to answer that question. You're able to meditate on this question. What is the kingdom of God like? What could we compare the kingdom of God to? And you begin to stretch, and you begin to think, and you begin to imagine, and you take these words like, it's a kingdom. What do I know about kingdoms? But it's not just a kingdom, not like a kingdom of this world. It's the kingdom of God, and how then should I compare it? And we begin to imagine, and we begin to build, and we begin to consider a whole host of grand things. Kingdoms are intended to be big and strong. Kingdoms are intended to have things like fortresses and treasuries and armories to defend them. Kingdoms expand through the use of the sword, and subjects are kept in line in various ways. So what is the kingdom like? What is the kingdom of God like? What would you use to imagine the kingdom of God, or help people to understand what the kingdom of God is like? And we have this question that we're invited into meditating on, this question of comparison. And then Jesus comes along and says, how about a mustard seed? You see, it's intended, purposefully intended, to have your meditations crushed. Because we don't go there when we think kingdom and then kingdom of God. Jesus says the kingdom is like a grain of mustard seeds. Mustard seeds are quite small, and they're easy to miss if you are not looking for them. I actually went looking for mustard seed this week because I wanted to show some of the children, but I could only find ground mustard, which is much smaller than a mustard seed. But mustard is, as a seed, is very small. It's a very small seed. In comparison, as the disciples are given this, this comparison would have been known as something to the hearers. When the disciples would hear that, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, that would mean something to the disciples. It wasn't just Jesus reaching out and saying, what's something obscure that I can grab onto to show the disciples? That phrase, the mustard seed, that is a Hebrew way of saying that something is small and insignificant. It's something that is a term that you would use to say that something really doesn't matter. Many of you can think of things in your life that have caused a lot of anxiety as you're preparing for them. You know, whether it's a conversation that you're going to have with a friend, or a job interview, or going off to school, or something in life that is taking a lot of your thought, living rent-free within your mind, and then as that thing comes to pass, you say, you know, it wasn't really that big of a deal. It wasn't what I made it out to be in my mind. The Hebrew way of talking about that is you would say, you know, it was a mustard seed. It was just something little and insignificant and of little worth. And Jesus begins this discussion of the kingdom of God with this idea that the kingdom is like a mustard seed. It's a small thing. It's insignificant. It's a speck. Now, why is Jesus saying that? He's saying that because in his day, it's true. The kingdom of God began as something of no significance, didn't it? As people would look at Christ and the followers of Christ, whether it was the 12 or the 70, or even later into the 400s, those are insignificant things for changing the world. A small thing, a minute thing, a speck. You see, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, came to the earth as the son of a poor woman and was born in a barn. He came without pomp or circumstance, and as he gathered his first teachers and preachers, he didn't go to the Harvards or the Oxfords or the Princetons of his day, or the MITs either. He went to fishing boats. He went to the outskirts of the nation. He went to the places that would be called insignificant by people of this world. He went to Galilee. And the scriptures tell us that this King of Kings, who was born of a poor woman and began to gather a kingdom from the place called Galilee, he had nowhere to lay his head. And the scriptures tell us that he was despised and rejected of men. In Luke 12, as Jesus speaks of the people that he's gathered around himself, his subjects, the King of Kings' subjects, he refers to them as the little flock. And the prophecies that spoke of the church called it the little horn, or the small stone, merely a stumbling block. The kingdom had small beginnings, and the reign of this king appeared to be narrow at best. Jesus tells us this as the reality. This is the beginning of the kingdom. It's mustard seed. It's insignificant. It's minutia. It's of little value as the world looks on to this kingdom. But I would encourage you to think of the words of Zechariah the prophet, who said to not despise the day of small things. The kingdom of God would not continue in this state of minutia. It may have begun as a mustard seed, as something that is insignificant, but mustard seeds, like all seeds, grow. And Jesus turned attention to that. In verse 32, our second heading is maturing in growth. Maturing in growth. Verse 32a says, when it's sown it grows up and becomes larger than all the herbs of the garden. So Jesus takes this familiar phrase of the mustard seed, and he begins to tell us that it's going to grow, and it's going to grow into something that is much larger. The kingdom grows. And here we see another aspect of parables that is new to us in the Gospel of Mark. Parables at times have a prophetic feature to them. And that's not something that is in every parable, but there are prophetic features within parables that are there, and they're unknown until in retrospect the people of God are able to look back and to say, this is a prophetic word of the Lord in this parable. And here, the parable with the prophetic feature is that the kingdom of God is going to grow. It's prophetic. And you can think of other parables that are prophetic. There's the parable of the fig tree. Remember, there's a prophecy connected to the parable of the fig tree. Or you can think of the parables that are used to consider the end as the people are separated into those that will enter into heaven and those that will be damned to hell. It is a prophetic function within the parables. And this parable is connected to the previous ones related to seeds and growth. You remember the parable of the sower dealt with your personal reaction to the Word of God as it is planted in your heart. And then last week we talked about God's sovereign choice in election and the work of the Holy Spirit in making that growth to happen in the Christian life. And today the focus goes away from the individual and the personalized heart and that secret work of the Holy Spirit. And this parable steps back and it considers all of the kingdom of God together and the way that this parable would have us to consider God's work. And we're told that the kingdom of God will expand, that there will be growth within the kingdom. And wasn't this the promise that was always made? Didn't God promise to Abraham that his children would be as the stars of the sky and the sand of the shores? Did not God speak to David and say that a son would reign and his kingdom would expand from the river to the ends of the earth, and that that kingdom would know no end? And this mustard seed, Jesus tells us, will grow, and it will grow, and it will continue to grow until it becomes the largest of the herbs in the garden. The kingdom is going to grow. You know, sometimes this parable is used to discredit the Gospels. There's those that are critical of the text, and they look at the text and they say, well, Jesus here is saying that the mustard seed grows to be the largest of the garden plants or the garden trees. And here's a list of things that are larger. Therefore, Jesus is not speaking truth. Well, I want you to understand here what Jesus is using is hyperbole. He's using this to make a point to his hearers, and he's using this so that his hearers would understand that this is hyperbole. He's saying this mustard seed, which is the smallest of the seeds, grows up to become the largest of the plants. That's hyperbole, isn't it? We can compare other seeds and say, this one's smaller. We can compare other plants and say, this is bigger. But what Jesus is doing is he's using this figure of speech to help us to think about the size of the growth of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God will grow. And the kingdom of God, as Jesus here teaches us, will become the largest of the kingdoms of this earth. And friends, we live in that reality in a way that the first century church did not live in that reality. We're told in our confession of faith that the kingdom of God is all of those that profess the true religion and their children. And despite the small beginnings of the church of Jesus Christ, Jesus tells us that that kingdom of God, would be the largest of the kingdoms. At one time, the Roman Empire covered most of Europe and some of Asia. The kingdom of God is bigger. The Ottoman Empire, the Empire of China, the USSR, believe it or not, the British Empire, and even the United States of America, all of the kingdoms of this world will come, and the kingdoms of this world will go, and the kingdom of God will grow, and it will grow, and it will grow. Kingdoms rise and kingdoms fall, and all of this happens in the history of the world as a way of ushering in and furthering and advancing the kingdom of Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God. It will expand and it will mature and it will grow. The kingdom of this world that is the largest of the kingdoms is the kingdom of Jesus Christ. One pastor said, no figure could be chosen more strikingly applicable to the growth and increase of Christ's visible church in the world. It began to grow on the day of Pentecost, and it grew rapidly, which nothing can account for but the finger of God. It grew wonderfully when 3,000 souls were converted, and 5,000 more in a few days afterwards. It grew wonderfully when at Antioch and Ephesus and Philippi and Corinth and Rome, congregations were gathered together and Christianity was firmly established. It grew wonderfully when at last the despised religion of Christ overspread the greater part of Europe and Asia Minor and North Africa, and in spite of fierce persecution and oppression, supplanted idolatry, became the professed creed of the whole Roman Empire. Such growth must have been marvelous in the eyes of many, but it was only what our Lord foretold in the parable. The kingdom of God is like a grain of mustard seed. In congregation, the kingdom of God will continue to grow and it will continue to expand. The word of God will go forth to the ends of the earth, and Christ crucified will be put before the eyes of sinners who will bow and who will find themselves coming in to that kingdom, even weekly, as sinners are wooed by the word of God unto Jesus Christ. And friends, this is how the kingdom expands. Christ crucified is put forth to you. His righteousness is given in exchange for your righteousness. Your allegiance to his throne is both requested and required. Jesus is Lord is a statement of his kingship. And he is the king of this kingdom. And this kingdom grows even one person at a time. One sinner converted, one who denies self, one who takes up the cross and follows Jesus. And the question is, where do you stand? It's an important question for our young people. Where do you stand in relationship to this kingdom and this king? Do you see the kingdom of Christ, and do you see insignificance? Or do you see a universal call to kiss the Son and to bow your knee before this great King? These are important questions for us, because this mustard seed will grow. The kingdom will grow, and Jesus ends the parable with even telling us of the result of this growth. In verses 32b, so the end of 32, through 34, he tells us, thirdly, the magnitude of expanse. The magnitude of his expanse. He says, when it's sown, it grows up and it becomes larger and it puts out its branches. The birds of the air make nest in the shade. So this growth of the kingdom of God is growth that will not only have size or geography, but it's going to have magnitude as well. It's going to have significance as a kingdom. There is great mystery here. The kingdom grows, and Jesus says that the birds of the air will make their nest in its shade. And that's a beautiful image. And you can actually find that image used in a lot of medieval art. The tree with various birds nesting in the tree. It's an image of the kingdom of God that is put forth. And it's an image which we remember begins as an insignificant seed. The tiniest of the seeds, as Jesus says, a speck, not much bigger than a grain of sand, but that seed grew and it grew and it grew, and it becomes what Jesus calls the largest of the garden herbs. And as a result of that growth, it becomes a home. It becomes a place of comfort and a place of protection for the birds of the air. Now, there's an application here for you concerning the church and what that church ought to be. But first, I want to tell you where Jesus gets this idea from. Ezekiel 17, verses 22 through 24. It's Ezekiel 17, 22 through 24. Thus says the Lord God, I myself will take a sprig from the lofty top of the cedar and will set it out. And I will break off from the topmost of its young twigs a tender one. And I myself will plant it on a high and lofty mountain. On the mountain height of Israel I will plant it, that it may bear branches and produce fruit and become a noble cedar. And under it will dwell every kind of bird. In the shade of its branches, birds of every sort will nest. And all the trees of the field shall know that I am the Lord. I bring low the high tree, and I make high the low tree, dry up the green tree, and make the dry tree flourish. I am the Lord. I have spoken it. I will do it. So God says to Ezekiel that he will take the high tree and he's going to bring it low, and he's going to take low trees and he's going to bring them high. And the lowest of the trees in the parable here, the mustard, will be that plant that God plants, and the nations of the world, the Gentiles, are the birds. The nations are going to come and they're going to make themselves at home among this tree that the Lord has planted. Jesus is referencing this, and his hearers would have understood, thinking back on places like Ezekiel and thinking back on the Psalms where the birds come and they make a home within the temple of the Lord. And it would have been understood that the nations will come, the birds will come, and they will enjoy the shade, and they will build their nests. You see, this is the way that the kingdom will expand, and the magnitude of that expansion. Remember on the day of Pentecost that the word of God would be preached. And in God's providence, Jerusalem would be filled with people from all over the world on that week. People from the diaspora, people that had gone out to other parts of the world, and here at this required holy day, they've made their way back into Jerusalem, and in God's providence, they hear the gospel preached. They hear Christ crucified, and they believe. Thousands are converted, and the gospel goes back to the nations by the thousands. The trees expand. The birds begin to build their nests. The birds of the world come and they hear and they put their trust in the Lord. And this is exactly what happens. The Gentiles came and the kingdom expanded. And if you remember in the New Testament that the Apostle Paul even has his mindset on reaching Spain in his apostolic journeys. And then within a few hundred years, the Roman Empire, which sought to snuff out Christianity and crush the gospel influence of the world, within a couple of hundred years, that same empire would come and make its nest in the branches of the mustard seed. The eagle, the symbol of the Roman Empire, would rest in the mustard seed, declaring Christianity as the religion of the empire and opening the door for the gospel to flourish. And friends, the kingdom of God, the mustard seed kingdom of Christ, is still a place where you are called to enjoy the comforts of Christ, to enjoy the shade, and to build a nest, and to come and to make this a home. You are called to come and to enjoy Christ, to repent of sin, to believe the gospel, and to watch the kingdom of God grow and expand even in your midst. So would you come? Would you rest in His branches? Would you build a nest among the others that are resting? And you remember, the kingdom began as something that was insignificant. It began essentially as nothing, but it grew and it expanded and it influenced. And Christ's blood provides this citizenship to come and to be washed and to be redeemed and to enjoy the rest that Jesus Christ brings. For Jesus is the King over this kingdom, and He invites you to come and to be a part of what He is doing in all the earth. Amen. Lord, we thank You for the small beginning, which was and is the kingdom of God. We thank You for all that You do to cause Your kingdom to flourish and give us eyes to see, cause us to believe for Christ's sake and glory. Amen.